There's a scientist at the Smithsonian National Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C., who's doing new work related to eating. Dr. Neil Kelly is a paleobiologist. His research focuses on how animals from the land became creatures of the sea, as in whales and seals. Neil was lead researcher of a study recently published in the Royal Society Journal Peer-Reviewed Biology Letters. He titled it, Trophic Convergence Drives Morphological Convergence in Marine Tetrapods. Neil Kelly, welcome.
Hi, Lynn.
Okay, you're going to have to translate that.
Yeah, sorry about that title. It might be a little bit difficult. It's a tongue twister. Basically, what we were interested in was looking at how the skull and teeth of animals that live in the water reflects their diet, what they eat.
So what brought you to this study?
Well, I'm particularly interested in extinct animals. I'm interested in fossils that lived in the ocean around the time of the dinosaurs, and especially marine reptiles. So these were animals that lived on land and then evolved to move into the ocean. And as they did so, they had to change their diet to start feeding on food that they could find there instead of on land. And we have similar things in the oceans today, marine mammals like whales and seals that originally evolved on land but moved into the ocean and changed their diet so they could feed and live there. And what I was interested in was if these repeated cycles of animals moving from land to the ocean and then some of them adopting similar lifestyles and similar diets led to similarities in the skulls and the teeth. And if we can kind of figure that relationship out in living things and figure out how closely the shape of their skulls matches their diet, then we can start to understand more about what the fossils and extinct things ate as well.
So how does this play today? Does this give you any insight into, for instance, you know, how sustainable sea life is going to be in the future? I'm thinking about what's happening in terms of, you know, the oceans and contamination and climate change and all of that.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons that we're interested in these animals is that we know they play a really important role in ocean ecosystems today. So, for example, when sea otters were overhunted off the coast of California, they had a major negative impact, that overhunting did, on the ecosystem. The sea otters were keeping sea urchins in check and control by eating them. And when the sea otters disappeared, the urchins became very abundant and they started to overgraze all of the kelp forests there. And so we're interested in these relationships, which are usually mediated by what things eat, right? The interactions that are occurring between predators and prey and different food resources. And so being able to sort of develop a better understanding of how these marine animals evolved and what they eat will tell us something about how ocean ecosystems work. And we really don't understand ocean ecosystems very much yet, despite the fact that we exploit them heavily. We harvest seafood.
Mm-hmm.
We also have negative impacts, you know, indirect impacts on them as well. And so we're just really trying to develop a better understanding of ocean ecosystems. That's kind of a first step in being able to anticipate or maybe prevent negative impacts, negative changes that are developing today.
Is this going to have any effect on how the evolution of life on the planet is studied?
Well, my results, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope so. I think it's part of a bigger trend in our field, so in the field of paleontology and biology, to try to come up with these sort of integrated approaches, trying to take different types of data sets and combine them to develop a more complete understanding of how life has evolved through time.
This is going backwards a bit, but what did drive those animals into the ocean?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So that first transition of land animals going into the ocean coincides with the largest mass extinction event of all time, larger even than the one that killed off the dinosaurs. And so
When was that?
250 million years ago. It's called the Permo-Triassic mass extinction. Upwards of 90% of all species in the ocean went extinct. Total devastation. It's hard to imagine how big of an event this was. And that basically hit a reset button on ecosystems in the ocean. So it opened up new opportunities. And we think that allowed some of these land animals to start to move in. In a narrower sense, they were probably really adapting to resources that were around them. So they followed their stomachs into the ocean, really. They were finding food on the coast. And during this mass extinction event, it's likely that food on land was actually maybe a bit harder to come by. There's evidence for acid rain and global warming, things that were probably damaging ecosystems on land and the ocean. But we think that maybe coastlines provided a little bit of a refuge. And so these animals were kind of living in coastal environments, eating maybe seafood that washed up on the beach, and over time became more and more dedicated to living in the ocean.
All right, I can't resist this question. It's science fiction, but maybe it isn't, and that's scary. Could this be a preview of what may be coming?
It is scary. There are many people who are suggesting that we may be living in the next mass extinction event. We might be watching it start and unfold before our eyes. Certainly, if we look at the rate of extinction that's happening in the ocean today, it seems to be very high relative to average levels in the past and closer to these big events that are very rare that only happen every 100 million years or so. So yes, we are worried about a mass extinction in the oceans, but we just don't even know that much about what's out there yet. So it's hard to really understand what that's the aftermath or the process of extinction is going to look like when we don't know what our baseline in the oceans is to start with.
Pretty amazing when you think it's 2/3 of the planet.
Yeah. I mean, it's just massive.
Neil, this is truly fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Neil Kelly is a paleobiologist at the Smithsonian National Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C.